In the name of God, the one who comes and is hunted and is killed, the one who turns out to be the healing of all. In your name, Lord Christ, amen. Is it possible to be on the phone, standing on a ledge, in the garden, and be lost in the conversation and take a step backwards and fall and break your foot? Fifth metatarsal. The answer is yes. Is it possible to be so busy with really important things as to ignore the pain in the foot and the doctor's instructions about being non-weight bearing for 6 weeks and walk from the kitchen to the bedroom with your coffee? Yes, it is. Is it possible then to get to the end of those 6 weeks and have your review at the orthopod and discover that it's not healed and that it's requiring more time, non-weight bearing? Is it possible to be driving a car with that boot and that same phone be once again another distraction and to discover how effective airbags are as your car wraps around a tree? Yes, it is. Entirely possible. Now, you might be thinking, I'm talking about a real person, and I am. I cannot tell you who it is. But it's me. It's not, but it could be me. Even this morning, my oldest son, Sam, driving back off to Port Macquarie, won't see him now for another couple of months, in the farewell, in the saying goodbye, as I was driving here to church, I'm not sure I was totally present. I'm ashamed to say, because my head already was, I'm preaching, I'm on, was already somewhere else. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. Is it possible for us to live as if our mind is absolutely, totally disconnected from our body? Of course it's possible. But the reality is different. The reality is that there is no separation from mind and body. And yes, I'm drawing from the mystics today. The mind and the body totally enmeshed. For that person, the phone is a metaphor for where your mind is, literally outside your body, literally disconnected. And it doesn't have to be the phone. It could be any creation that our mind gets lost into. Children are very, very good barometers for how well mum and dad return at the end of a busy day and whether they're still at work even though their body is at home. So I propose to you a reality that you are aware of. There is no separation from mind and body. In Christian theology, let's sharpen it. When we die, when I die, I'm dead. Christian theology is not that my body is buried and my soul goes somewhere else. There is a unity in our understanding of what makes a person. And the good news is that that whole person is resurrected, not just that little gooey bit. So I hold up to you today this possibility that reality is so interwoven and connected that there is no separation of mind and body, nor is there a separation between us and them, between male and female, separation between slave and free, separation between inside and outside, that all those distinctions are created. And that the greatest reality is that everything already is intertwined. I speak today against an ultra-individualization that strickens our world, especially Western culture, in such a way that our church is profoundly complicit in the individualization of faith itself. My salvation, my soul. There is a pathological individualization that has a profoundly wicked manifestation. And we've seen it in Las Vegas this week. So in speaking against it, is it possible that there is an alternative reality that actually is the way things are? And that is Maybe the whole of Scripture is simply us waking to something that occurs right at the very, very beginning. Every human being, image and likeness of God. That's it. And we're still trying to live into that extraordinary reality. There are no distinctions. They're all made up. And that, as Thomas Merton, walking, overwhelmed, just discovered, oh my gosh, child of God, everyone filled with this exquisite light. We are all brother, sister. We're all related. We're all entwined. And that is reality. And separateness is a lie. Separateness is a disorientation of the way things actually are. So that's it today. It's an invitation for us to see through the lens of our great mystics who offer a way forward in our broken world. So, Old Testament reading, right? Slavery, not good to be in slavery. No one should be enslaved. Movement through water to a desert. And when you can go anyway, which way is the right way? Come across the desert to that smoking, shaking mountain. And to come down from that place with a code, with a practice, which is a covenant between God and a people. Now, often when we hear this, we think that that people is separate and apart from, chosen to be apart from. But that's not what this Ten Commandments is. It is a code that binds identity to the well-being of the whole. It's a code that binds the well-being, the chosen, into the well-being of the whole. So much so that in some Jewish synagogues, in Yom Kippur, comes this exquisite phrase. If not for others, then not for Israel. That makes it very, very plain that our identity, the identity of the chosen, is inseparable from the well-being of the whole. So I hold up to you a metaphor that's not my own. So if you're wondering why you're here, let me tell you. We are leaven in the dough. We are, by our identity, given a mark that is not for yours and my well-being, for our safety, for our tiny little well-being. It's for the well-being of the whole. You're here because the world needs you. You're here because God chooses you to be a gift to the community. You're here because you need to be reminded you are as leaven in the dough. Leave this place and be sent into the world that God loves to help it rise. So see through the eyes of Christ. We're all in this together. We're all bound in this profound thing together. And just like there is no separation from mind-body, there is no separation between human beings. Race is just a created thing. There is also no separation between identity and values. You can't be the people of God and not practice the commandments. You can't actually identify as the people of God unless we are constantly being renewed in how we live the commandments. In the gospel, it's made very, very plain the separation of tree identity with fruitfulness. If it isn't whole and bound, God runs out of patience. Our identity is intimately woven to, as Christian, as people, as children of God, with how we practice. If I was bold, I'd like to refer to a thing that Rod Bowers, Anglican Church, Gosford. They shrink tweeting to a little board out the front and put some... If I had time, I'd talk about what he did there this week. If I had time, I'd love to make reference to his phrase, which was, Peter Dutton is a sodomite. Which is exactly what I'm preaching on today. It's not a homophobic slur, which is what it most commonly would be taken as. You've got to know your Bible. You have to know your Bible, because in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 39, it's very clear. You can read it when you open up now if you want to. What is the sin of Sodom? It's not homosexuality. It is that you would live at ease and not pay attention to the poor and the orphan in your midst. It's an accountability to the practice of the code, the Ten Commandments. You don't keep that, you're separating your practice from your identity, and that's not okay. Richard Rohr writes, it's not Richard Rohr, this is Meister Eska. I love this phrase. God the Creator laughs and begets the Son, the Word, the living Word. The Word laughs in reply back and creates the Holy Spirit. They laugh together, and in that laughing, the whole of creation is made. You and I are the fruits. The whole of creation are the fruits of that exquisite letting go, that exquisite interconnected delighting. Our reality comes out of this interconnected shared delighting and laughter. The word person, as you know, means person in relation, laughing and mutually engaged with the other. So then, let us pray against pathological uber individualization. So, friends, when you heard Psalm 19, exquisite psalm, and you hear the personal pronoun I or my, you're trained to think that's the individual. You're trained to think that that's you and that's me being that. Just as you might think the keeping of the Ten Commandments, the one God, no idols, sacred name, Sabbath, into love, children, honour mother, father, don't kill, don't keep promises, don't lie, don't want too much, don't, all those things. It's not. The I is the people, the shared people, who would then be the gift for the world. It's not one person, one person, one person. It's the whole on behalf. It's the chosen, the church, the house of Israel, on behalf of the whole. On behalf of the whole. So can I finish then with an invitation to take a knee? To take a knee and not be kind of fickle with thoughts and prayers as you might be just throwing a toilet roll out to people whose whole lives have been distraught. Don't practice that lazy, I'll pray for you. Pray like this. Let the prayer live in you. And so I offer up the Lord's Prayer as a way of practicing our code of engagement. For others, then if not for others, then not for God. If not love of neighbour, then how can you identify as being child of God? A prayer which we all know that Jesus gave us. You might think it's for you, but listen to the collective nouns. But the collective nouns are not holy Jamison or Christians. It's for the whole. So I invite you, as a way of being the leaven in the dough, being the light that sheds a light for all, to pray the Lord's Prayer this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, is the Father and Creator of all. And our prayer is for the earth, not for me, not for just a little group, for the earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. The next bit. Give us, not just holy people, not just us who are here at church, but you're here today. The us is the earth. It's Rohingya, it's Puerto Rico, it's everywhere. You're here praying the us of all. It's not just a small pious prayer. You are necessary for the well-being of the whole. God's chosen you to be a gift to all people, and pray that today there would be enough for all. The next bit, can't remember. Thank you. Actually, I did remember. Pray this. I dare you to pray this, that when you look out into the world, there is no distinction. There is no us, them, black, white. There is, so the our sins is not just my tiny, small, pious ones. They're the sins of this week. It's the sins of the world. It's the sin of separation that turns black against white, whatever you're voting yes or no against each other, whatever, it's that systemic sin. Forgive us, the whole. How? That as we practice the unbinding of the bonds of others. You know how the prayer finishes. Save us, deliver us. Not you, not the people you love. Of course it's that, but it's bigger. It's the whole. Why can we pray like this? Because Jesus is the one who makes sense of our whole understanding. Jesus is the one who is hunted and killed. Jesus is the one who actually takes all of human brokenness and doesn't give it back and transforms it into a new way of seeing. Everything is interconnected. You in Jesus, we are fully interpenetrated with God, with others, with neighbor, with ourselves, with creation, and even with our enemies. Oh my goodness, you are courageous coming today. And you are. And daring to see into that vision. Because you're sent out. As leaven is in the dough, as light is for the nations, for the healing of the world. You're here because God needs you to be a gift to all, for the healing of all. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't even be afraid. Pray. For the kingdom, the power, the glory, all of it belongs to the Lord our God. And we are marked as his people. Let our fruitfulness be intimately and forever connected to that identity, that we would be a gift to where you live and where you live and your neighborhood and your people and this earth. May we never tire from that gift, that calling. To that end, the Spirit of God move among you this moment, this day, this always.